Yud Dalad. So we got to the bottom of Yud Gimel Mabez, the last five lines. The Gemara quotes a Brice, a Tanya Rabbanim, Kohen Gadol Makriv Onen Ve'eno Ochel. Kohen Gadol, while he's in the state of Aninus, he's allowed to be Makriv, but he cannot eat the Karbanos. And Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Kol Hayom. So he says something strange, Kol Hayom. Unclear what Kol Hayom is actually referring to. Asks the Gemara, my Kol Hayom, what is Kol Hayom actually referred to? Amar Rava, Lo Nitzacha Ela Lahaviu Mitoch Beso. Rabbi Yehuda says, not only do we allow him to, but we actually force him to. If he stays in the house and doesn't want to be involved in the avodah, we drag him out of the house, call yom, we make him do the avodah, laviyum mitoch beiso. So Amalei Abaye says, that doesn't make any sense. Hashtel Rabbi Yehuda, afuke mafkinolei. We have a brisa that we're about to present. Rabbi Yehuda says, we actually remove him from the avodah. Now you're telling me Rabbi Yehuda, and this brisa says, we bring him to do the avodah? Desani, the brisa teaches us that Hayaomin Makiv al Gabi Hamizbech, the guy standing, the Kohen Gadol standing doing the Karbanos, it's actually referring to the Kohen Hedyot, Rashi says, and Shama Shemesh Lameis, and he finds out a relative passes away, Beniach Avodasu, he has to leave the Avoda, Beyotze goes home, Divrei Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yossi Omer, Yigmor, Vaat Amris, so the Yigmor, he says, Rabbi Yossi allows him to finish the Avoda, and then he goes home. So Vaat Amris, my senior late, Mitoch Bezo, if the Kohen Hedyot, we kick him out. So granted, we're talking about a Kohen Hedyot versus a Kohen Gadol, but still, nonetheless, such an extreme that Kohen Hedyot, we remove him from the Avodah, the Kohen Gadol, we make him do the Avodah, that seems too big of a discrepancy. So the Gemara says, Ella Amar Rava. Rava says, what does it mean in Kol Hayom that Rabbi Yehuda says, going on to Daf Yudalad, Lomar She'eno Oveda Kol Hayom. We actually don't let him, even though he's allowed to, we don't let him. Why? Gzeira Shema Yochal, he perhaps might eat from the Karbanos, Rashi explains on top here, Lomar She'eno Oved Kol Hayom Ad Halayl, until nightfall, he can't do the Avodah, there's no Avodah at night, but he could be Makdir Chalavim of Abalayla, in Bala Hakdir Chalavim Ve'murim, Yakti is allowed to at nighttime. Rashi says further, Gzeira Shema Yochal, perhaps if he's doing the Avodah while in the state of Aninus, he might eat from the Karbanos. Kol Hayom Aser Bachilas Kachim Min HaTorah. There's an Issa Deraisa for an Onin Ti Karbanos. Avabaninus Halayla, the night afterward, Mishinikvar Hames, after the mace has been buried, Bayom, Eino Midivre Torah El Midivre Sofim. There's only an Isser Midirabanon, so therefore we let him get involved in the Karbanos at nighttime because it's only an Isser Midirabanon. So that's what it means. We can't, even though Midiraisa he's allowed to do the Avodah, Rabbi Yehuda says the Gzeira is we don't let the Kohen Gadol do the actual Avodah. So Gemara then says two lines down, Amr Le Rav Ada Bar Ava Le Rava. Umi Gazer Rabbi Yehuda Shema Yochal, does Rabbi Yehuda really make a Gzeira that you can't eat? V'atran, the Mishnah says that Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Af Isha Acheres Maskina Lo Shema Tamos Ishto. Rabbi Yehuda in the Mishnah said that you have to have a backup wife also, which was all of yesterday's discussion, how to create that backup wife. You have to have a backup wife in case the Kohen Gadol's wife dies on Yom Kippur. V'imaisa Ishto, if the wife dies of the Avodah, we let him do the Avodah anyways. V'lo Gazer Rabbi Yehuda Shema Yochal. So wait a second. Right now he has a wife. And the wife dies, so the backup wife kicks in now, so he's still married, but he lost his first wife, so he's an Onen. This is Yom Kippur, the Kohen Gadol is an Onen. So here, Rabbi Yehuda says he's concerned of the death of a wife, and yet he allows the Kohen Gadol to go ahead and do the Avodah, even while Ba'aninus, but the previous Brisa, when on a regular day of the year, the Kohen Gadol, if his wife dies and he's an Onen, he doesn't let the Kohen Gadol do the Avodah. So why is there a difference between the Kohen Gadol the rest of the year as an Onen, he can't do the Avodah, but Yom Kippur as an Onen, the Kohen Gadol may do the Avodah. So the Gemara says, again, that v'imaisa ishto avid avodah v'lo gazer b'yehuda shema yochal. So Amar Lei, he says, hachi ashto, let's understand this. Hasam over there, Yom Kippur, the reason why the Kohen Gadol could do the Avodah, even though he's an Onen, kevin di Yom HaKippurim hu d'chuli alma lo ka'achli hunami lo asil meichal. Yom Kippur, nobody's eating. Nobody's eating at all. So the Kohen Gadol is no different than the Kohen Hedyot, no different than anybody else. No one's eating. So even though he's an Onen, he's not going to perhaps eat from the Karbanos because no one's eating. Today is Yom Kippur. So that makes sense. However, Hachal the Chuyama, or any other day of the year, where the Kohen Gadol might become an Onen and everybody else is busy eating, so he might come to eat as well. Hachal the Chuyama, Achli, everybody else is eating. Hunami Asi Lemechal. So the Gemara says, wait a second. Wait a second, would the Kohen Gadol be an Onen anyways? If you remember from yesterday's daf, he divorced the wife who ended up dying, so technically he actually wasn't an Onen. So, he was already divorced her, because however he made the Tanai. So Gemara says, Nihi da'aninas lo chayla aleha. Granted, halachically, there was no real aninus, but still atchudei mimalomitrit. He was still turid. He was still involved in the, he was osik in that inyan, and Rashi explains here, so what's the problem with being turid? So what? You can't do the kachim when being tarred. If you're an onain, okay, there's an issa deraisa. So he's tarred. He didn't lose his halachic wife. So it says Rashi, mi lo mitrad ubekachim ba'inan simcha ogedula. You have to be happy. Lamaisa, this was his wife. Technically, he was able to get out of it that it wasn't his wife anymore. He's not an onain, but still, he was married to the lady. He loved his wife. And dechseva lecha nasatim lemashcha kederach shem lachem ochlim. And since he's not in the state of simcha and gedula, he's not allowed to eat it for this reason as well. Not because of aninus, but because of bein and simcha ugedula. So the Magen Rambam makes an interesting point here. We know by chametz just a few weeks ago we had Pesach. You're not allowed to touch chametz on Pesach because you might come to eat it. Are you allowed to touch food on Yom Kippur lest you come to eat it? So the Magen Rambam has a whole slew of rayas that he proves that you are allowed to touch food on Yom Kippur, even though you can't eat it. So he brings a proof of this Gemara from, since no one else is eating Yom Kippur, the Kohen Gadol is allowed to touch the kachim. We're not concerned he might eat it. So to anybody else is allowed to touch food on Yom Kippur, he's not coming to eat it. So the Chachma Shlomo says you can't bring a raya from this Gemara. He agrees to the halacha. You could touch food in Yom Kippur. But he doesn't like the raya. The raya, why not? Because this is in the Beis HaMikdash. In the Beis HaMikdash, Ein Shvus B'Mikdash, so we can't be gozer, the Isser Negiyah of food in the Kohen Gadol in the Beis HaMikdash. But perhaps outside the Beis HaMikdash, whereby there are Shvusim, there are Gzeiras, one would not be allowed to touch food in Yom Kippur. So he doesn't like the raya from this Gemara here, but he does agree halachically that one may not touch food, or rather one may touch food on Yom Kippur. Same thing by chametz. If it's a chol, if it's a pikuch nefesh case, you could also give. Okay, so that's one area that's different.
You could give to a cotton, you could prepare for a cotton.
No, the big difference though is because the chametz you eat all year round. The bread is used to it. And Yom Kippur, no one eats anything. Gemara talks about it at the end of the Yuma that no one eats anything. Everyone's eating nothing. But Pesach people are eating food, so you might confuse the matzah with the chametz.
It's still a good raya because elsewhere the USA, Karin Zeruzim, they're talking about the
fact that.
The fact that it didn't answer that shows that this is a good svara.
No, that would say it's reason, therefore they're more careful, but maybe out of the basic Mikdash they're not.
Right, but you don't make but they couldn't answer that. That's why they didn't worry about it.
Not sure. Anyways, the new Mishnah tells us as follows, Kol Shivat HaYamim, all 7 days of Prisha prior to Yom Kippur, Hu Zorik Es Adam, the Kohen God themselves sprinkles the blood, Umaktis Aktoris, he brings Aktoris, Umeitav Esaneros, and he prepares the menorah in the morning, he cleans it out. Umakiv Esarosh, Esaregel, he's makiv the carbon tamid, the head, the leg, all the different parts, Vesharkal Yamim, any other day of the year, Im Ratzalah Hakriv Makiv, if the Kohen Gadol wants to be makiv, he can. Normally there's payasos, there are different lots that they choose. The Kohen Gadol says today, hey, Yud Gimel Ear, I want to bring the carbon, everyone moves out of the way, and he gets to bring it. Shekohen Gadol makiv chelik barosh v'noto chelik barosh. He is able to choose that he wants to do a karbon and a voda. He's able to choose what he wants to eat. But during the 7 days, he has a requirement to do that. Why is he a requirement to do the avodas during the 7 days prior? Says Rashi in the Mishnah, Hu zarek es adam shel temidim, kidei sheyehe ragil umezumana b'avodas yom hakibur. He needs to practice. He needs to do chinuch. He needs to get used to doing the karbanos. He has to know which animals, how to do zrika properly. So it's a must as part of the preparations for Yom Kippur. So Gemara now says we're going to go into a whole din. The truth is, now that I'm thinking about this, in this Gemara here, there are a few other complicated sugyas that come up, Legabe Tumah V'Tahara and Paradum in particular. There are a few choice sugyas that come up throughout the Masechta. This is one of them. It's not too complicated, but the Gemara goes on in a whole umma now talking about the Tumah V'Tahara of Paradum. So the Gemara wants to know now, Man Tana, who is the author of the Braisa here? So the Gemara says, it must be Amar Rav Chista, the low Rabbi Akiva, cannot be Rabbi Akiva. Why can it not be Rabbi Akiva? The Rabbi Akiva ha'amar tahor shenafla lav haza tameyasa. There's a din because we said during the 7 days, this goes back to one of the previous discussions we had, that we sprinkle the mechatas on the Kohen Gadol all 7 days prior. So now, the Rabbi Akiva says, there's a din that somehow the paraduma waters work in a very strange way, that if you sprinkle the paraduma, the mechatas, on one who's tamei, he becomes tahor. But if you sprinkle it on one who's tahor, he actually becomes tamei. So now you're sprinkling on the Kohen Gadol who is seemingly tahor. Now you're making him tamei. So that would be against what you're trying to accomplish here. So Gemara says it cannot be like Rabbi Akiva. The low Rabbi Akiva again. The Rabbi Akiva ha'amar tahor shenafla lav haza tamei. He becomes tamei. So hechi avid avoda. How's he going to do that avoda? if he's Tamei now. The Tana and the Baraita teaches us that based on the pasuk in Parshas Chukas, v'hiza hatahor al hatamei tahor, v'hatahor tamei. The pasuk says if you sprinkle the person who's tahor, sprinkles on one who's tamei, that person becomes tahor. But the reverse would be that the one who's tahor would become tamei. That's Divrei Rabbi Akiva. V'chachamim omrim eina dvarm halalu amurin el bedvarm hamikablim tuma. They reject Rabbi Akiva. They say this din of mechadas is only referring to that which is mekabel tuma. We'll see what that means in just a second. But either way, we're going to shelf Rabbi Akiva until Amud Beis, and he's not the author. It must be the chachamim who hold that even though the Kohen Gadol would be tahor, the mechadas won't make him tamei. He remains tahor. He's just a tahor person, becomes more tahor, if you will. This whole hizah tahor al tamei, that pasuk is teaching me a whole other din according to the chachamim. So the chachamim are the ones who are the authors of this Mishnah, that you sprinkle the mechadas all 7 days. So what are the Chacham referring to? That this din referring to Bidvar HaMekablim Tumo. So Gemara says the following Mishnah. Kidetzan, the Mishnah teaches us, Niskavin Lahazos Al Behema, let's say the Kohen who has the Mechatas in hand, has in mind to sprinkle the Mechatas on the Behema. Whatever reason, Behemas are not subject to Mechatas. You don't sprinkle Behema. You sprinkle on Adam. But whatever reason he wanted to, he was Niskavin on the Behema. Instead, however, he's Al HaAdam. But he sprinkles onto a person instead. So that doesn't work on the Adam, because you have to have Kavana. So you have to do it again. So im yesh be'ezov yeshana, if there's still some water in the ezov, they had the ezov, the hyssop tree, they'd stick in the water and he'd shake it off. So he shook it, wanted to shake it on the behemoth, on the cow, but accidentally he shook it on Reuven. So it didn't work. But as long as he has water on the hyssop and the ezov, he could do it again without having to dip it a second time. Now let's say niskaven lahazos al hadam. Let's say he had Kavana to sprinkle on Reuven, which is the proper kavana, and instead, accidentally, v'hiza al habema, but he sprinkled it on the cow. So now the Mishnah says, im yesh be'ezov, even if there is water remaining in the ezov, lo yishana, you can't repeat, you have to re-dip it inside the water. Why? So Rashi explains here, when you sprinkle on a behema lamaisa, that's a worthless lamaisa, it's like a malacha. You can't do any malacha to the waters of the mechatas. You did an avoda. You did a malacha to it. So by sprinkling on a behema, that becomes disqualifies the water. That's why you have to re-dip it inside. So that's what he's referring to. That's this din of we learn from the pasuk v'hiza hatahor al tamei. Not to tell me one who's tahor becomes tamei, but teaching us this din somehow that whether you have to re-dip it or don't have to re-dip it. So the Gemara now says, my time is Rabbi Akiva. What was the reason behind Rabbi Akiva's understanding? Nichta Rachmana Vihiza Tara love. The pasuk should have just said the Tara guy sprinkles on him. We know who him is. Him is the guy who's Tame. Why does it say my al Tame? We know the guy's already Tame. So why does it emphasize that he's Tame? Shmamina to make that diik. That al Tame, that guy becomes Tower from the Mechatas, but Val Hatar, the guy who's Tower, who gets the Mechatas, becomes Tame. That's the drasha of Rabbi Akiva. And Rabbanan say no. Hai the Dvar Mamakablan Tuma Hudaasa. Aval Hacha here, so that was the whole drasha we discussed above about sprinkling on the Behema versus the Adam. But the Gabe, one who's Tower, how could he become Tamei? Hacha Kavachomeru, im al HaTamei Tower. If the guy who's Tamei can become Tower through the Mechata, certainly al HaTower, Lokoshika, and certainly one who's Tower will remain Tower. So therefore, based on this Kavachomer, Chachamim reject this drasha, Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva's response is, Rabbi Akiva, Hainu the Kamer, the Shlomo, that's what Shlomo said about the Paraduma, that although Shlomo learned all the Chachmas in the world, Amarti, I said, Ech Kama v'hi rechokum imeni. That the Paraduma is way beyond his understanding. How it works, you can't explain. It's backwards, it doesn't make sense, and therefore we have to leave it as is, and even though it's not logical, that's the din. So Gemara says, okay, so now Rabbanan, what do they do with the pasuk of the extra word al ha-tame? Rabbanan hu, limaza ulimazna lava tahor, the one who sprinkles on to the tame person, he remains tahor. The Kohen who sprinkles the mechatas, he remains tahor. However, nogeya behen tame, a person who touches the mechatas, he actually becomes tame. So how these things work with it, we can't understand how the things work of tumah v'tahara, certainly not in the world of the paraduma. But somehow, if you sprinkle it, you remain tahor. If you touch the mechatas, you become tame. That's what he learns from this. So the Gemara then says, umaze tahor. So one who sprinkles the mechatas, he remains tahor. Is that really true? V'aksiv, doesn't the pasuk clearly say that the maze, the one who's sprinkling the mechatas, maze meinida yichaves begodav, he needs to wash his clothing, but because he becomes tamei, the maze. So Gemara says, no, my maze, what does the maze mean, the sprinkler mean in the pasuk? It really means no geya. even though it says mazer, it's referring to the nogeya, the guy who touches the mechatas. V'haksiv mazer, but it calls it mazer. How can you say it's about nogeya? V'haksiv nogeya. The pasuk used the word mazer and also used the word nogeya. So the pasuk knows how to use each of the words. How can you suddenly say now the word mazer is the same word as nogeya? And moreover, the pasuk makes a distinction between one who's mazer and one who's nogeya. Vod mazer boy kibbutz. The pasuk says one who's mazer needs to wash his clothing, and one who's nogeya lo boy kibbutz begadim. So you can say that the word mazer is referring to nogeya as well. There's clearly a difference. Elamai mazer nose, the one who's lifting, carrying it. So there are really three people here. The guy who touches it is tamei. The guy who lifts it is also tamei. And then the guy who sprinkles it actually remains tahor. So the Gemara says, "B'nichta rachmana nose." So instead of being so unclear, why did the pasuk simply say nose? Why does it have to refer to the nose as a mazeh if it's not really the mazeh? So my time, a ksiv mazeh, ha kamash mulana dibainan shir hazah. That in order for a nose, the one carrying mechatas, to become tameh, there has to be a shir, an amount of water that's sufficient to perform a hazah, to perform a sprinkling. So now I'm kind of backtracking. When I said yesterday's daf was maybe harder, today's daf is a little tricky as well. So anich l'man damar, the one who says hazah, tricha, this makes sense. The one who holds hazah, in fact, tzricha shir, that you need to have a certain amount, a certain shir, a certain measurement of hazah, this makes sense, that for the masa, the one carrying it, is only tameh if there's a certain shir of the hazah. El l'man damar hazah ein tzricha shir, ma'ik l'memer. The opinion holds that you don't have any shear. You can even have a cold shoe of water, and that's enough to perform the mechatas. So then how are you going to explain this? Why the nosei is only tamei if there's a shear? We hold in general that ain tzarech shear. So the Gemara says, Hani mile agaba the gavra. When the one who holds, you don't require the shear, that only refers to, we don't measure how much water falls on the guy, on the gavra. He sprinkles something, as long as a tiny bit falls on the guy, the gavra, he's tower. About bimana, but the kli that's holding the water, that kuliyam agree tzricha shir, that requires a shir. So just like we have that, there's a shir in terms of what's in the kli and how much the masa, the nose is carrying. There's a shir, so that's the din that a nose requires a shir in order for him to become tameh. The tzan, the mishnah says, kami yehe bahen. How much should there be in the kli? How much mechata should there be in the kli? V'yehe kedei hazah. There should be enough that you can perform hazah. Kedei sheyitbo roshay. You could stick the head of the gvulin v'yazeh. There should be enough water in the kli whereby you could stick the azov and the tips of the azov, stick it in the bucket, and sprinkle it out. So everybody agrees the kli needs to have a shear. The only machlokas is when you throw the water on the gavra, there's a need to be a shear, or there's not need to be a shear. But we do see that everybody agrees there needs to be some level of a shear, and that's why we refer to the nosei in the pasuk as the mazeh, because when is one tameh? When he carries the water? Only when there's enough water in there to perform a hazah. So just to quickly recap this, so the guy who touches nogeya, the water, he's tameh, he needs to yichav his begadav. One who carries it, he's tameh, but does not need to wash begadav. And one who does the sprinkling remains tahor. These are the three different dinim. Rav said, fine, that's all trying to understand the Shita of Chachamim, that they are the authors of the Mishnah, that you're allowed to sprinkle all 7 days, because one who's tahor, who gets a mechatas, remains tahor. But then the Gemara says on Amar Beis now. The Gemara says, no, Abai Amar, Afilu Tema Rabbi Akiva. You could even say that Rabbi Akiva is the author of the Mishnah. How could that be? Didn't we say that according to Rabbi Akiva, one who's Tahor and is sprinkled with Mechatas becomes Tame then? And now you're going to have a Kohen Gadol who's Tame Yom Kippur. How could that be? So he says that De Avid Avoda Kuliyoma, that he does the Avoda all day long. Okay, all day long he does the Avoda on the 7 days of the week, right? The Havamina was, you sprinkle the Kohen Gadol in the morning, and if he's Tahor, now he's Tameh. Now if he's Tameh, he can't do the Avodah on that day of all 7 days of the 7 days of Prisha. He says, no, we don't sprinkle the first thing in the morning. What we do is we let him do the Avodah in the morning. He does the Karban Tamash HaShachar, and does the Kedoros, and the Hatavas HaNeiros, and so on. At the end of the day, before sunset, we sprinkle, do the Azah on him. And then, in case he's Tameh, he goes into the Mikvah, and Harav Shemesh, and then he gets Tahor for the next day. So the Gemara says that, the Avod Avodah Kul Yom, he does the Avodah the entire day, of each of the days of Shivas Yimei Prisha, Ulifnei, when the sun is beginning to set, Madeh Allah, Madeh is Lashon of a Mazah, the Dal and Zayin oftentimes are swapped in Aramaic, so it really should be Mazu, so Madu, Mazu, they sprinkle the Mechatas at the end of the day, Allah, V'tavol, then he goes to the Mikvah, V'yavid, Harav Shemesh, and then he experiences the sunset, and becomes Tower, in case he was Tameh, and the next day he could do the Avodah yet again. Fine. So now the Gemara says, after presenting the Mishnah Amun Aleph about the order of the Kohen Gadol, what he would do every single day, the Kohen Gadol was told on the 7 days of Prisha, he sprinkles the blood, he's makhtir the Ketores, umeitiv his aneris, and then he cleans the menorah out. So Gemara is bothered by the order of events. So our Mishnah said, first you do Ketores, then the Mishnah says, you do Altavos HaNeros. Altavos HaNeros, there's a machlokas between Rashi, Ram, and what that meant, but it certainly meant you clean it out in the morning. Meitah means to make nice. They clean it out. There's a machlokas whether you also light it in the morning, or no, you just clean it out, and it's prepared to be lit by evening. But either way, there's some process, some cleansing, cleaning going on by the Neros. So first they did the Ketores, and then they did Altavos HaNeros. So Gemara says, Alma, we see from here, four lines down from the top, Alma, Ketores Bereisha, V'hadar Neros. First you makya the Ketores, and then you do the Neros. Urimin, you ask Gemara, is this really true? If you take a look at Meseches Tamid, Daf La'amid, Mabez, Misha Zacha Bedishin. So the way it worked, those who want to learn the Kachim, the first thing a person should learn is Meseches Tamid. It's a very small Mesechta. It's around 6-7 blad or so. It starts in Daf Chafei, strangely. Why? Because Meseches Me'ila goes from then the numbers continue to Meseches Kinim, to Meseches Tamid, to Meseches Midos, from Daf Beis to Daf Lamed Hey or so, has four different Meseches in it. So Tamid's in the middle there. So it's a very easy Masechta, some Mishnayos, some Gemara, that tells you just the basic Avoda, the basic Seder of every single day that took place in the base of Migdash. So there, in the Mishnah Meseches Tamid, it tells me, so one who did the pious, the first pious of every single morning, was a Dishin of Mizbech. They clear out, for Truas Adeshin first, I'm sorry. And then they do another pious of who would do the additional avodas. So Misha Zacha B'dishin Mizbech HaPrimi. He'd go clean out all the ashes from the inner Mizbech. And then Misha Zacha B'menorah or Misha Zacha B'Ketores. So according to the Mishnah Maseches Tamid, the menorah was before the Ketores. Our Mishnah was that the Ketores was before the Mishnah. So there's a stira, what the order was. So Amar Rav Huna, Man Tana Tamid, who is the author? Who is the Tana who wrote Maseches Tamid? It was Rabbi Shimon Isha Mitzbahi. So different authors. There's one Mechaber, one Tana who wrote Maseches Yuma, and a different one wrote Maseches Tamid, so that's why there's a stira. Don't we have the opposite? That's not. We have another Mishnah Maseches Tamid. We don't need to pay attention to the details right now. That Bala Lekarim Mizrachis is talking about how the Karim would sprinkle the blood on the Mizrachis Tzvonis, the northeastern corner of the Mizbech. Nosim Mizracha Tzvona, Maravis Dromis, then he give to the southwest corner, Nosim Marava, Droma, and the west one. So a whole order of how he sprinkled the blood in each of the different corners. And then all that Mishnah Maseches Tamid, V'tan Allah, the Brisa comments that Rabbi Shimon Isha Mitzvah, who was clearly not the author of Maseches Tamid, he's commenting, he's arguing on the Mishnah Maseches Tamid. He says, the Mishnah Tamid, he comments on that Mishnah, Mizrachas Tzvonis Nosin, Mizrachas Tzvona, Maravis Dromis, Nosin Marava, V'chakach Nosin Droma. He argues on the order that according to the Mishnah Tamid, you first put the west and then the south. He says the other order, west and south versus south and west. So Machoket had to do the Zrika. But either way, it's clear here that Rabbi Shimon is not the author of Maseches Tamid. So the Gemara says, Ella Amir Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan says, Man Tana Seder Yuma. Who is the author of Maseches Yuma? That's Rabbi Shimon Ish HaMitzbahu. So he authored Maseches Yuma, which had one version of the order, that first Ketores, then Hatavos HaNeros, while Maseches Tamid, authored by someone else, was first Hatavos HaNeros, and then the Ketores. So Gemara now says, Rami Seder Yuma, I say to Yuma, let's find that even within Maseches Yuma, who now we're saying was consistent, there should be one author, one Tana, who wrote all of Maseches Tamid, we could find the stira even within Maseches Yuma. What's that stira? Rami Seder Yuma, I say to Yuma. Ditzan, the Mishnah tells us, Pius Hasheni, the very second Pius. The first Pius, the first lottery, was who does the Chumas Adeshin. That was the first avoda of the day. Then the Kohen goes in, he does, they cleans out the ashes. The next Pius, they started to give out the rest of the avodas of the Karban Tamid. So Pius Sheni was Mishochet, Mizorek, Mimedashim Mizbech HaPanimi, Mimedashim HaMenorah, Mimala Evarm Lekevish. Pius Shlishi was Chadashim Lektoris. So the Chadashim, what do you mean Chadashim Lektoris? You can never have a Kohen who repeated the Ketores. The Ketores was a school of Ashiris. We want to spread the wealth, so we never let a Kohen repeat the Ketores. It's not fair that he gets it again. So if you did it already once, you're out of this next pious. And only the ones who have never had a chance to do it, the Chadashim, they come in first. This is the model for the concept that Ramah brings down by Hilchas Mila, that we don't have the same Sandik within the same family do the Sandik for two different boys. Why? Because somehow the Sandikalis is like the Ketores. It's a school of Ashiris, so spread the wealth. So that's a practice, not to have the same person do Sandikalis within one family. That's the understanding of the Ramah. A lot of questions on this, how that exactly works. So why is it fair if you do it for another family? If it's really the Ketores, the Sandik's not really the Kohen, the Sandik's really the Mizbeach. He's not the Kohen. The Moel is really the Kohen. So the Moel shouldn't do it for multiple families. So there's a lot of caution how that exactly works, but this is a very superficial connection of the Ketores to the Mila. Either way, Yeah, we pass. Yeah, it's about them. Yeah, the Sfardim do not. I believe it's only by the Ashkenazim. The Ramah, we paskin should not be, unless it's maybe a Shalom bias issue. We do not have the same person be Sandik within one family. So then, either way, the Gemara clearly says
family means like if you have four kids and
each family, each child is a different family.
Each child.
Yeah, family. Yeah. So you still could do it for each. So the Gemara says, so again, either way, what comes out here. So the Gemara says. So either way, from this, we see that Pai Sheni, they did the Tavas and Neros, and the Ketores was done Pai Shlishi. The Ketores was done second. But we just said in the Mishnah Daf Yudalad that the Ketores was done before the menorah. So within the same Masechta, we have a steer of the order, Ketores versus the Tavas and Neros. So the Gemara answers, Amar Abai, Abai says, Lo Kasha, there's no contradiction. Kan ba tavas shterin neros, kan ba tavas chamesh neros. They would actually separate the 2 and 5. We know there are 7 candles in the menorah. They wouldn't do all 7 in one shot. They do 2, clean out 2, take a pause, do the ketores, and then do 5. So they're both true. One's referring to before, one's referring to afterwards. Look at Rashi to make this smooth understanding. 3 wide lines down at Rashi, he writes, kan ba tavas shtey neros v'chuli. We're going to learn. There has to be a separation between the different cleaning of the candles. When you do the first 5, post it, you have to stop after doing 5. You have to do some avoda in between. And then you fix the last 2 candles. There's machlokas there. One is you have to separate the 5 and 2 candles with the ketores in between. You have to do the shechting of the tamid and the sprinkling of the tamid, and then you go back to fix the final 2. We're going to see later on, we're going to figure out what the reason is. Our Mishnah, that our author, the Mechaber, Rabbi Shimon ben Isha Mitzvah, who authored the Mishnah, he found that the ketores was what was used to separate between the 5 candles and the 2 candles. Hilkach, therefore, had the katani ketores bereisha, but tavas shtei neros kamar. The ketores went first, that meant it was before the final two candles. The one that said the Atava was first, referring to Atava Chamesh, the first 5 candles, the Rishonos that were before the Ketores. So that's how everything worked out very nicely. So the Gemara now says, wait a second. Lemeimer, is this to suggest the Ketores Mafsiklu, that everybody agrees you need to separate the 5 candles and the 2 candles? What do you use as the Hafsaka? That's a Shiloh. So is it really true that everybody holds that Ketores is what divides, what separates between the 5 and the 2? But Abai, doesn't Abai tell us that Masad de Maracha Mishmei de Gemara, that he quoted from the, he had a certain Masorah, what the order of the whole Maracha, the whole order of the Seder Avodah was. And he held, Ubedam HaTamid Mafsiklu. We're going to see, I think it's maybe an Amid, maybe tomorrow's daf. I think we're going to see the whole order. We say this every single day in the Karbanos. But in his order, the Dam, if you take a look in the Siddur, in the Karbanos, the Zrikas Dam separated between the 2 and the 5. V'ha Bedam HaTamid Mafsiklu. So Amri, they said, Lokasha, there's no contradiction. Abai embraced one. And then there's a machlokas that Grashi referred to, that Hahila Abashal, Hal Rabbanan. There's a machlokas between Abashal and Rabbanan. Was the Ketores used to separate? The Ketores, according to our mission in Maseches Yuma, the Ketores was separating. According to Abai, he paskin, that was the Zrikas Dan that separated between the 5 candles and the 2 candles. The Tani, the Brisa says, we're probably going to stop in the middle of the Brisa here, because it goes deep into the next daf, but at least we'll start this Brisa. The Tani, the Brisa teaches us that Lo Yitav Es HaNeiris V'Chakach Yachtir, a person should not first clean out the menorah and then do the Ketores, Ela Yachtir V'Chakach Yitav. He should first do the Ketores, and then afterwards he should prepare the menorah. That's all the Tanakhama. Abishal Omer, Meitiv V'Chakach Machti. He felt, no, first you should clean out the menorah, and then you should do the Ketores. So what's this machlok? It's my time at Abishal. Why does Abishal feel you should first clean the menorah and then do the Ketores? Zichsiv Baboker Baboker Heitivos HaNeiros. It first says to clean the Neiros out in the Pasuk. V'hadar, only afterwards does it say Yaktiranu. So that's the order. You do the menorah, and then the Ketores. A very simple reading of the Pasuk. Rabbanan Mai Kamer, where do they sit back? If you remember Maseches Pesachim, we had the same machlok as Maseches Pesachim. Rabbanan Mai Kamer, where do they hold? Rachmana, Torah meant to say, Be'idin HaTava, while you're cleaning the menorah out, Tei Makdir Ketores, you should have the Ketores already running from beforehand. Yes, the Pasuk says, Meitiv Neiros, then Yaktirana. What it means is that Taurus HaNeiros should take place while the Ketores already is taking place beforehand. That's the understanding of Rechachamim. Dilo Tei Mahach, if you don't say this, if you don't learn like I'm learning, Bein Harbaim Dechsiv, it says that Bahalos HaAron HaNeiros, Bein Harbaim Yaktirana, that he has to light the candles the latest part of the night, Bein Harbaim, which is really late, Hachinami de Bereshit Malik Neros Father Machtik Taurus Shel Ben Abayim. So you're going to tell me that first you light the candles and then you do the Taurus afterwards? It refers to Neros as Ben Abayim. The Ben Abayim has to be the last thing of the day that should go after the Taurus. The Chitema Hachinami. If you're going to tell me in a Chinami, yes, you should do first the Neros. And then the Keturahs afterwards, even though Neros is described as Bein Harbaim, which implies it should be later, no. Ba'atanya, doesn't the Baisa say that the menorah must last May Erev Ad Boker, from the evening until the morning, which means either, maybe, let's keep going, which means, Tein La Midasa Shete Delekes V'lechas Kol Ayla May Erev Ad Boker. One shot is, you need to have enough shear of oil, it should last from morning, evening to morning. And Davar Acher, May Erev Ad Boker, this is the key here, Ein lecha avoda shekshir me'erev ad boker ela zubavad. There's only one avoda. The final avoda from evening to morning is the menorah. Implies that that's the last thing. The menorah must go last. Ella, my kamar, so how the chachamim read this? It must be, therefore, Rachmana, the Torah is telling us, b'idin halakha, while you're lighting it, te'makhtir k'tos, the k'tos ray should be burning from afterwards. That even though, again, the pasuk first talks about the menorah, and then the k'tos, the read is the menorah should be lit while the Torah already is burning from before him. So Hachanami here as well, Bidin Hatava Te'maktir Ktaris. That's how Chachamim learned this. And Abishol says, Amalcha Shaini Hasam Dichsiv Alsa. We'll get back to that at the end. Tomorrow, we'll review this tomorrow. But either way, let's recap quickly what we did today. The Gemara we start off today is talking about how Rabbi Yehuda, he as a Kohen Gadol, can do the Avoda, but he can't eat. Rabbi Yehuda made a Gzeira, we're concerned he might eat, so we don't let him do the Avoda on the day of Yom Kippur. We found that there's a difference, when he's an Onen. When he's an Onen, he can't do the Avoda, even though on Yom Kippur, the Kohen Gadol can do the Avoda when he's an Onen, we're not concerned he's going to eat because nobody's eating Yom Kippur. But any other day of the year, where Kohen Gadol might be an Onen, since everybody else is eating, where Choshesh, he might eat also, and they made a Gzeira, he cannot work as an Onen on another day of the year. Then we have the Mishnah that we tell the Kohen Gadol to do all the Avoda 7 days in preparing for the Yom Kippur, and then any other day of the year, if he wants to do the Avoda, he always has first dibs. Then we discussed who authored the mission that allows you to do 7 days of sprinkling. That can't be Rabbi Kiva, because Rabbi Kiva says one who's Tahor, who gets Mechatas, becomes Tameh. That would be counterintuitive what you're trying to accomplish. Must be the Chacham who don't hold to that. We had the whole discussion about how Tumah V'Tahor works by Paraduma, about one who carries, one who touches, and one who sprinkles the Mechatas, whether he becomes Tameh or doesn't become Tameh. Then Amud Beis, the Gemara said that Rabbi Kiva, even he could hold of this din of sprinkling the Kohen Gadol all 7 days, because maybe you do the Avodah first, then at the end of the day you sprinkle the Mechatas, so even though he might become Tameh, he goes right to the Mikvah and Harav Shemesh, so he immediately becomes Tahor afterwards. And then we discussed the order of the Ktaris versus Hatavas and Eros. Came out that the author of Mishnayos in Maseches Yumed, Rabbi Shimon Isha Mitzpah, which is different than the Mechaber, the Tana of Maseches Tamid. And then we had the steer within Maseches Yuma about the order of Ktaris versus Menorah, Menorah versus Ktaris, and we ended up saying that the 5 candles first, then your mafsik with the Ketores, then you do the final 2 candles so that everything is consistent. But then we found another stira that the machlok is whether the dam is mafsik or whether the Ketores is mafsik. That's how we finished off the daf. Okay, everybody have a wonderful day.